Well, good morning again. We're turning once again to the book of Genesis, moving on in the study that we began yesterday. Our schedule has been changed just a little this week, really to accommodate me. So yesterday we began a study of Joseph, and we considered his name, how that it means adding, or Jehovah has added, and his mother gave that name to him as an expression of her faith that God would give her yet another son. And we liken that, of course, unto the Lord Jesus, who was the firstborn of many. All that the Savior went through at the cross, his death, his resurrection, was in order that many might be born again, that others would follow in his triumph, or through his triumph, enjoying life eternally. He said, I am come that you might have life. So he was the first. And God is still gathering in those for whom Jesus died. We're moving a little further in the book of Genesis to chapter 37. Chapter 37, and we just want to read the opening verses of the chapter. Chapter 37, verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock of his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. They were doing wicked things. And so he told his father, I know that anyone who does that usually gets called some nasty names. I also know that it's very possible for us to try and stir up trouble for brothers or sisters or classmates by running to the teacher and tittle-tattling, as we would call it, sort of giving an exaggerated report of some wrongdoing, which really wasn't a wrongdoing, but we're just trying to get the person into trouble. Now, that's wrong. But what Joseph was doing here was not wrong. Concerned about his father's name and honor and testimony, concerned also, I'm sure, about the well-being of his brothers, because sin and wrongdoing will harm every one of us. If we see a loved one engaging in sin, it is not wrong to take action to try and see them stop that, any more than if we saw them trying to drink poison. Nobody would blame us for running right away to mum or dad and saying, look what's happening, look what they're doing. No one would say, oh, you're doing wrong, you shouldn't report that. Well, engaging in sin is worse than drinking poison. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And Joseph was reporting that his brethren were not doing what was right. Not told exactly what it was they were doing, but he reported it to his father. And as I say, he would have been concerned for his brethren's well-being, but also for his father's testimony, because if sons do wrong, it reflects on their father. That's how people look at these things. They say, what sort of a father has he? Or what sort of a mother has she? If that's how they behave, what way have they been brought up? And it brings reproach upon the parents. So Joseph was doing that which was very proper and right. Very proper and right. He brought unto his father then their evil report, verse 2. Then verse 3, now Israel. Do you notice the change in his name? Who are we talking about when we talk about Israel? Jacob. But in the previous verses, he was called Jacob. Now he's called Israel. And just as a sort of a rule of thumb, as we say, a rough guide, whenever Jacob is referred to as Israel, we are about to be told something that is good and spiritual about the man. Jacob was his old name. Israel was the name God bestowed upon him. And I think that what we're about to read is an indication of good on the part of Jacob, or Israel. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. Jacob loved Joseph of Vauban. I mentioned yesterday how that the love of Jacob's life, I think I can say this, was Rachel. And you will remember the circumstances in which he and Rachel got married. He was cheated out of having Rachel as his wife by Rachel's father, a bit of a twister. And instead he found himself married to Leah, Rachel's sister, and he had to work then another 7 years in order to obtain the hand of Rachel in marriage. And he loved Rachel, and Rachel's first child was Joseph. So I have no doubt, and he waited a long time, for many years passed, before Rachel was permitted of God to have a child. And so he loved Joseph, and he made him, it says, a coat of many colors, or many pieces, most likely made up of pieces of different colored cloth. And that was a very distinct garment. So today, I want us to think about a simple matter, and it's this. Joseph was one of only two men in the Bible against whom there is no recorded sin. Only two men in the Bible that you have a record of their life in which there is no mention of them committing sin. That's what we want to look at for a moment or two today. Now, to be like the Lord Jesus in heaven is the hope of every child of God. That's what we desire to be, like Christ. And in Psalm 17 and the verse 15, I'll read this out to you, but look it up if you so wish. Psalm 17 and the verse 15, we read, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." He's speaking, of course, of the resurrection here when he says, "I awake." When I awake, when I awake in the resurrection, I will awake with thy likeness. I'll be like thee. That's what John says in his epistle, 1 John chapter 3. That's away at the end of the Bible. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. "Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." That's the same thought that the psalmist David had. God's people always have had this hope that when I get to heaven, I will be like the Lord Jesus. I will bear his likeness. I will bear his likeness. But even while here on earth, we may bear at least something of the likeness of Christ. We are not what we will one day be. We can never have that likeness to Christ here on earth that we will have in heaven. But we can have some likeness to him. We can have some likeness to him. Listen to these words. Let me read some verses to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and the verse 18 says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." What does that mean? Well, it's a reference to our studying of the Scriptures. You remember the Bible is likened unto a looking glass. It reflects what we look like. Oh yes, when you look into the Bible, you will see the Lord, but you will also see yourself. You'll see your sin. That's why under the preaching of the Word of God, men and women become aware that they are sinners. They've looked at themselves in the light of God's Word. Now, as we study the Word of God, not just looking at ourselves, but looking for Christ and looking upon Him, then there is a wonderful process takes place, and we are made to look like Him. If you stand out in the sun when it shines, what happens? You get tanned. Your skin takes on the same color as the sun. What happened to Moses when he was up the mount and had that long, long time of fellowship with God? He came down from the mountain and his countenance shone. Up there, something of the glory of God rested upon him. And the same thing happens when we reverently, lovingly, wholeheartedly study the Bible and look for the Lord in the Scriptures and carefully note what he says and what he does and obey him. When we do that, his likeness comes upon us. That's what that verse I just read to you, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in the verse 18 means. But we all with open face, honest face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. So even though we will not ever have that likeness to Christ here on earth that we will one day have in heaven, it should be your desire to be like Jesus, to be like him, to be like him and to bear his image. That's why when we turn to the scriptures and look at men like Joseph, we see men who bore the image of the Lord Jesus. We can pick out in him a likeness to the Lord Jesus. And that's what we're doing when we study Joseph. There were likenesses to the Lord Jesus in the character of Joseph. Likenesses to the Lord Jesus. And I'm saying today that because in the record given us about Joseph, there's no mention of sin in his life, that speaks to us of the Lord Jesus. Now, I have to say right away that without a shadow of a doubt, Joseph did sin. Joseph did sin. The Bible says all of sin. There's no question of that. But it just pleased God never to report it, never to write it down. Now we have the sins of Abraham, sins that Isaac committed, sins that Jacob committed, sins that David committed, sins that Peter committed. Most of the men, in fact, as I said, all but two of the men whose lives are recorded to some degree in the Bible, have their sins mentioned by God, but not Joseph. By the way, can anybody tell me who the other man is against whom there is recorded no sin? Anybody? Daniel. You study the story of Daniel, you find that he is not charged by God, or it's not recorded against him by God that he sinned. Now, as I say, there's no question but they did. But it pleased God just not to make a record of their sin. And the fact that there's no sin recorded against Joseph is, I believe, but part of the picture of Christ that he presents, because the Lord Jesus was the sinless one. The Lord Jesus never sinned. It's not just the case, as it was with Joseph, that there's no record of a sin, but the Lord Jesus did no sin. There was no sin to record. No sin to record. Let me read some verses. It's so important that I stress these things to you on the basis of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who did no sin. The Lord Jesus became as our sin. God dealt with the Lord Jesus on the cross as he would deal with our sin, because Jesus became our sin. He bore our sin on the cross. God, looking down upon his son on the cross, saw our sin and dealt with him. But he himself did no sin. He did no sin. Another verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, the verse 22. There's an easy text for you to remember. 1 Peter 2:2:2. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Again, 1 John chapter 3, the verse 5, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him was no sin. That's the record. No one could bring up a sin against the Lord Jesus. Not even the devil. Not even the devil. Boys and girls, you have therefore reflected in the story of Joseph the fact that the Lord Jesus was without sin. The Lord Jesus was the spotless, sinless, crimeless Son of God who died as the spotless Lamb for our sin. Do you remember what God told the Israelites to do on the night of the Passover? They were to select a lamb without blemish, a lamb without blemish. And they had to put it aside for a period of time to make sure there was no sickness or blemish or hurt in the lamb. They had to keep it for a period of inspection to make absolutely sure that this was a spotless lamb, because that lamb was a picture of the Lord Jesus. Just as we have in the case of Joseph, a spotlessness that represented the Lord Jesus Christ. One verse more I'll give to you as we close. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. The Lord Jesus was tempted, but he never sinned. Now we know of the temptation of Joseph that he met at the hands of the evil wife of Potiphar, and how he fled from that temptation, which is what we all should do when tempted. But I'm sure Joseph met many other temptations. He was in jail in Egypt, not a very pleasant place. A lot of wickedness would have been going on there, but he kept himself from sin. He held high office in the land, in the court of Pharaoh, and I'm sure that was anything but a pure place, yet he kept himself from sin. When he met with his brothers, who had treated him, as you know, most cruelly, most wickedly, I'm sure he met with the temptation, now's my chance to get my own back on them. Now I can get revenge. That must have been a temptation that faced Joseph. But Joseph did not yield to such a temptation. He didn't. But rather, he pacified his brothers. He assured his brothers. He told them of his love. He wept over them and told them, don't be afraid. I don't want revenge, for I know that in all that happened, there was the hand of God at work, bringing me here that many might be saved. No, Joseph, like the Lord Jesus, resisted temptation. And he is therefore a picture that we might observe and learn from. Joseph had no record of sin. Isn't that a wonderful thing? A wonderful thing. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and give you understanding of these things. We'll bow in prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Bless the children. Bless the little one, Lord God. Look on them now with kindness, I pray. Oh, Lord, draw near to their hearts and give to them the knowledge of thyself and of sins forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ. Cover the school in the precious blood this day. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. Amen.